What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you get right with God. This is episode 53. Today, we're talking about women in ministry, what women can do in ministry, what they can't do. This is coming after the fivefold ministry we talked about. We talked about the apostle, the evangelist, the prophet, the teacher, the pastor. And so we're going to talk about women and what they can do and what they can't do. We're going to talk about why women can't be pastors or teachers and why they can't be in these authoritative leadership positions. We're going to talk about some of the scriptures they use to support being in these positions. We're going to talk about what single women can do, what married women can do, what women with children and who have an unbelieving husband can do. What can they do in the house of God? You know, what opportunities and services can they provide in the church? So we're going to talk about all that to get all this stuff squared away. But first, I want to respond to a reader's comments. I told her I would respond. She had some questions regarding women in leadership. And so I told her that I will be having a sermon coming up and that she could hear the responses there. And I'll be addressing everything she mentioned in that email. So that's what I'm going to do in this first part. So let's get right into it. So one of her first set of questions was this: if women are teaching other women and children, doesn't teaching make us a leader? Okay, that's the first question. And it does. It makes you a leader in some capacity. All right, so that's my answer to that, and I'll expound on that later. The second question she had was, can we be a leader in prayer, leaders of songs, leaders over women in the church, such as teaching and preaching, only to women and children? I'm going to say not necessarily in the capacity that you and I'll explain later. Yeah, you can probably be leading a song or something like that. It says, what happens if men come in to hear a woman? Do they stop preaching because a man is present? No. There will be instances, I'm sure, in the past and in the future where there ain't no men at all. For whatever reason, and God will call a woman to teach something to the women. That can happen. It's not to say that couldn't happen. But we're going to talk about the foundation of a woman and why she is excluded from these different positions. Okay? So here's what a teacher is. A teacher is a person who helps others acquire knowledge and values. All right? So that's the main purpose of a teacher, and that's what they do. It's not necessarily leadership, but if you are teaching somebody how to follow the Lord, and it will lead to some level of leading somebody. So if you're guiding somebody, you're a leader. If you're guiding somebody down a road and you're in front of them, you're the leader. You know, so just because a woman is tasked with teaching her children or younger women doesn't open the door for her to take leadership of the home or the church. So if she's married, her husband is the leader of that home. Now, he may be absent. Maybe he went go out and get some groceries or whatever. She's now leader of the home for that period over those children. When he comes back, he's the leader. Ultimately, he's the leader in general. They should know as children who's the head of the home. That man is. And she's submitting to him. The Bible says that the head of every woman is the man, and the head of every man is Christ. That's the hierarchy, and that's how it's supposed to be. All right. Yeah. So it doesn't open the door for her to take leadership of the home or the church. So just because she's leading, because teaching is a form of leadership, doesn't mean she gets to lead the church and say, I'm going to be a pastor, I'm going to be an apostle or something like that. You know, I can see where the questioning can open up to where you ask that later on. The problem here is this. This is what's going on in the world. And a lot of women are asking these questions because they desire to be leaders. They desire to be pastors. They desire to present the word of God and all this kind of stuff. And in the spirit of the world has inspired women to be leaders, specifically over men. All right. Just like Eve, she was told what she had wasn't good enough. Okay. That God was holding something back from her. Today, women are told that the role assigned to them as wives and mothers is degrading and limiting. They are told that men are stopping them from reaching their full potential and that they are the same as men. These ideas and desires are inspired by Satan. The enemy knows that with women in leadership, he can rule more easily. And I'm going to explain why going forward. But that's my answer to your first three set of questions. All right. So, yeah, it doesn't make her a leader if she's teaching people. But can she lead in prayer and songs and other women and just other women? And that's what we're going to get iffy about, you know, because that's not your role. All right. All right. Here's some other comments you had. The second set, it says, you quoted scripture here, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 5, and then verses 16 of the same chapter. It says, but every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she was shaven. Verse 16, but if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. So you, in parentheses, you said need understanding because 1 Corinthians 14 says for women to be silent and not to speak. I wonder if women are only allowed to pray, prophesy, sing, help, serve, teach the children and other women only. I need understanding. So you see here that the woman, she had to pray with her head covered, but she's also told to, she can't speak in the church. Okay. You got to look at the spirit behind what's being said. It's not this, oh, you can't say nothing in the church, but oh, it is another scripture saying you can pray in the church or whatever. The spirit behind what Paul is saying is not that women can't talk in the assembly. Instead, they are not to be loud, opinionated, injecting their viewpoint during the teaching service or teaching the flock of God. Okay, you see other passages saying, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over a man. These are the passages telling you what it's really about. She's taking the position of the man. That's the problem. You can't do what the man does in that capacity. You can't be him. That's his role. That's all he's saying. And so he'll say direct stuff like, be quiet. Why? Because women who are trying to take the position or are in the position, they're loud. They run in their mouth. They're talking. They're leading. They're giving advice. They're educating and leading the flock. They're calling themselves pastors and apostles. He said, I don't tolerate that. All right. See, the problem with women in leadership as far as being a pastor, an apostle, it distorts the Bible, really, and it violates their roles as women. All right. So in one capacity, he's telling women to be quiet. And but then you see him in the pulpit running their mouth, telling everybody what to do, or they're being told to be submissive to their husbands. And that the head of every woman, he didn't say wife, but every woman is the man. But then she's the head of the church over men. That's confusing. So what God is saying is she needs to stay in her position. The woman needs to stay in her position. And so she can't be in these particular leadership positions because that distorts the creation role she was given. All right. So a woman is a helpmate. She was created to help the man. All right. As he commands her to do it. That's I want to be clear about that as well. She can't just decide she's going to help him his way. All right, we're going to talk about that in the marriage series when we get to that. But he's trying to keep everything in place. And that's why he's saying, look, you can't, women, y'all got to sit down and be quiet. That's why. All right. Can women prophesy? Yes, there are women prophets. We see them in scripture. Can God speak to a woman and say, hey, tell people what I said? Yes. That's not the same as teaching and pastoring and guiding people somewhere. But if God wants to speak through you, he can. All right. We see that in scripture. Can they sing? Can they help? Can they serve? Yes. Here's some other comments you had. Here's the second one. You said in Acts chapter 9, verses 36. Now there was at Joppa, a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Just need understanding because disciples means to be taught the word and to follow the Lord's teachings. Basically, we are students. I know Tabitha did good works, but aren't we also to teach other women what we have been taught, whether it is inside the church setting, if the pastor allows it, and also to teach outside the church, such as in our homes or in the towns? Doesn't teaching make us a leader to other women and children? All right, Tabitha Just read the scripture again. Tabitha was full of good works and alms deeds. All right, didn't mention anything about her teaching. So then you switch to teaching other women, and alms deeds is just doing good deeds. She feeding people. She ain't got nothing to do with teaching. All right, so teaching ain't got nothing to do with that, with Tabitha. All right, let's see here. Yes, you're called as older women who are mature to teach other women. We already established that. Timothy talks about that. But you see, again, you're asking the question, doesn't teaching make us a leader to other women and children? Yes, as far as that is concerned, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But once again, you're getting that information from the men. You don't have no authority over those women like that. All right? You're just relaying information. Think of it as you're at a fellowship with a younger woman in the Lord. She just got saved. She's learning how to be a good wife and a mother. And you're an older woman who's been born again for X amount of years. You're matured. You've been with your husband for 20 plus years. You're mature. You're grown, and you got something to relay to her. That's what it looks like. And you're just talking to her about things as she asks questions and stuff like that. Okay? It's not to say you start a ministry for women. Now, I wouldn't say it'd be wrong, but it would have to be something that the pastor would authorize and say, hey, you can go over and do that, you know. But it's not about leadership. It's about you being a good wife and a mother. That's your role. Stay in that. And like I said, there's a spirit in the world that's telling women that just being a mother, just being a wife, just being a servant in the church is not good enough. You got to be something extra. Because that is not your full potential. You got to be this great woman of God who is expounding the word of God. And she's a preacher and she's a fiery, all of this stuff. That ain't what God called you to be. He called the men to do that. You support and help the men do that. That's not for you. But Satan told you you're supposed to be doing that. And that somehow the man is taking your position. You got to do greater things. So you have these desires that ain't even from God. And so I'm not saying it's necessarily you, but the spirit is out there. And that's why women keep pressing toward these positions in churches. All right. Because they want these forbidden things that God even calibrate them and made them to fit into. OK, so understand your role and you'll begin to simmer down and not desire all this extra stuff because it's not built for you. It's not for you. OK, so does it make you a leader when you teach other women? Or you're guiding them, yeah. If you tell a young woman that she needs to be more respectful to her husband, and you're on some level, you're guiding her. You're telling her how to do that. You're guiding her. You're a leader. Like I said, somebody walking down a field and you're in front of them, you're saying go here and go there. You're doing that. But ultimately, you're getting that information from the pastor who's getting that information from God and the word of God. And ultimately, this is a chain of information that's coming down the pipe. And you don't get to segment off the women for yourself and be ahead over them and just teach them. OK, and that's what I see happening sometimes as well. The pastor has the flock, and then he has his wife who's a co-pastor who takes the women aside and start teaching them stuff. And we need to have the hierarchy in place because we keep seeing women leading and having authority over other people. Other women specifically, then we got things that's out of order. Women are seeing that another woman is in authority and she's almost in the same authority as the man. That's confusing everybody. That's not her role and her position. And I want to keep stressing that. God didn't create you for that. It's not that you can't do it. You can be taught to do it, but it ain't your role, it ain't your position. And we'll talk about why. You weren't created for that. And so if you do something you weren't created to do, you can break something. Okay, just like sticking something in an electric socket ain't supposed to go in there, something's going to get broken. So even though you can stick it in there, something's going to get broken. Somebody going to get shocked. All right. So just because you see women doing this doesn't mean that they can or that they should or that it's healthy. Here's another scripture you cited and some questions you had about it. Titus chapter 2, verses 3-5. It says, the aged women likewise that they be in behavior as become holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And then you say in parentheses, are women to teach other women in a church setting? And first of all, just deal with the content. That's what women ought to be teaching. Specifically, older, mature women who have got to a place where they practice this. That's the main thing you ought to be teaching. Okay, don't be jumping into the Bible talking about Melchizedek and what's happening in Revelations and other stuff like that. You're not teaching on that. All right, you're teaching how to be a good wife and a mother. All right, but you say here in parentheses, are women to teach other women in a church setting? Yes. All right, now that depends on what a church setting is. A church setting could be a building with some chairs and a podium. A church setting could be somebody's home, a local fellowship, with somebody's meeting in the basement somewhere or in somebody's living room. So I know you're probably referring to the pulpit situation with, you know, that, but I would say you're more likely going to be teaching through your example of your life. Younger women are going to see an older woman walking around and going to say, okay, I can see that. You're also going to be teaching when they have questions and they ask you, or when you, the Spirit of God lays on your heart to talk to a younger sister. You see she dressing kind of funny and her husband and them ain't getting along, and you go talk to her and the Holy Spirit say, you know, I need to speak to you. And so you take her to the side, you tell her some things, you know, he give her your number and you say, you know, call me. And you know, I'm gonna call you to see about how you respecting your husband. That's what you're gonna be doing at a local barbecue. You know, while y'all washing dishes together, while y'all helping the pastor bring in some turkeys and some food for the saints that need help. Okay, when you helping out, that's when you have your conversations and your teaching moments. Okay, teaching is not standing up in the pulpit all the time with the Bible open and everybody sitting down in hard chairs listening to you over a microphone. That's not what it's going to look like. It's going to look like one-on-one FaceTime, you and another younger sister kicking it, talking about the things of God and how to be primarily a good wife and a good mother. All right. So in the church setting, yes, the church is the local assembly of believers. It's not a building. It's the group of people when they come to fellowship. That's what the church is. All right. Here's another passage here. You mentioned Matthew 28, verse 19 through 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And at the end of that, and then you have a question. I know that Christ gave this commission to his disciples, but isn't it meant for all of us? Yes. As the Spirit leads. Okay. But primarily this was given to the apostles and to the evangelists. Okay. At that time he left, they had to spread the gospel. So they had to go out and do the work to get the message out. Now, every believer is not gifted with the evangelist. The evangelist does this full time. So what I'm seeing here is another place for can a woman just kind of be out there preaching the gospel like part time or full time. You see, it's trying to find a way to be in ministry like the men. No, you haven't been gifted with that. Primarily when it comes to preaching the gospel, there are people assigned in the body of Christ to do that full time or part time. And that's the evangelist and the apostle. The apostle goes to a place where the gospel ain't been preached ever. The evangelist goes to a place where the gospel has been preached, but God loves them enough to keep reminding them over and over again. And we talked about the evangelist, their work in a few sermons back. All right. His job is to preach that gospel. Now, you and I, who are not evangelists or apostles, we preach the gospel when the Spirit leads us to. We're not making it a ministry. It's not our mission. Now, if I find an opportunity to and the Holy Spirit leads me to say something to somebody, I will. You know, I'm prepared. The Bible says, you know, we should be prepared with the gospel of peace. You know, that's one of the armaments of the spiritual warfare, you know. So we got to be prepared. We got to know what the gospel is and be ready to preach it. And that's why it's important to have that. But we are not, that's not our mission on a daily basis. And so I'm excluding women once again. I'm excluding this position from you because that's not for you. All right. That's for the evangelist and for the apostle. Now, at any point, you feel the Holy Ghost leading you to speak to somebody, you can give them a gospel. All right. But you can't make it a ministry. You know, I shouldn't see you on the corner with tracts 2 hours out of every day talking about you in ministry preaching the gospel. You ain't called to do that. When I see those older women doing it, it bothers me. So that's what it means to preach the gospel. You preach it as God leads. And then there are those who are called specifically to go out there and promote the message, which is the evangelist and the apostle. All right. Here's another passage that you mentioned. 2 John chapter 1, verses 1, and then you skip down to verses 5 through 6. It reads this way. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that I have known, that have known the truth. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. And then you ask your question about this passage. Who is she? Who is this elect lady? And what is her position? If you read this whole chapter in context, you realize she is a woman that was chosen to have her home opened up for a local fellowship. All right. She's the housekeeper. That's her position. All right. She's the owner of the home. Elect means chosen. So God said, you know what? That lady, y'all can have a fellowship in her house. Okay. And so John was writing a letter to her. And this is what he was saying to her. You know, don't let nobody in here that don't teach the truth. So she's not teaching. Just because she's running the household, that's her house, don't mean she's the one teaching. Because you read in verse 10, you'll see anybody preaching this particular gospel, that's wrong. Don't let them in the house. All right. She opened her home. That's all she was doing. She was being a servant to the Lord. So what is her position? Housekeeper, owner, servant of the Lord. All right. Elect lady just means chosen. It doesn't mean anything special. She chosen. Elect just means chosen. We are elect. We were chosen by God to be saved. All right. That's all it means. All right. Let me read this in context so you can see for yourself. 2 John chapter 1. I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's a very short chapter. It's only 13 verses. It says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children. It start off like this because the elder who's writing this letter is saying unto the elect lady. So she's not an elder, by the way. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, great mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. So he's talking about her children. Her children was on point. Walking in the truth, as we have received the commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So he's telling this lady, you got your home open. There's deceivers out. I told you about the commandment of love. He goes on in verse 8. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ have not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he have both the Father and the Son. So this woman can understand that. Verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. So she was opening her home to fellowship and bringing in teachers and allowing them in. He's warning her. He said, look, some of these dudes out here is deceptive. They're teaching the wrong thing. If you hear this coming out these people's mouth, don't let them in the house. All right. She's the householder. She ain't up there preaching. She just opened the home up. Verse 11, for he that abideth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deed. Verse 12, it says, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. Verse 13, the children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. That's the whole chapter. So he wrote a letter to this lady who opened her home, who was chosen by God to have a fellowship at her place. He told her to remember the commandment of love. He told her to watch out for these deceptive teachers who may come in and preach something foul. If you hear this coming out, talking about Jesus didn't come in the flesh and all that, tell them to get up out of there. They can't come in your house no more. That's all this is about. So you want me to give you an understanding of that passage? That's what was going on there. She wasn't an elder. She was not a teacher of anything like that. She was a member of the body of Christ, a servant of God, and she was opening her home. She was not a leader over the people. She was simply opening her home. She was doing her part as part of the fellowship in the body of Christ. All right? We need to meet at certain places. That's all it was about. And that's a blessing in itself. God's blessing her for that. And it's all it is opening her home and being a righteous woman of God, because you see, her children was in order. He was commending her for her children being in order. So she relaying this information to them. Okay? So she's doing her part. And so even in this context, you can see that a woman who is not married, maybe her husband obviously is not in the picture, that's why he's talking to her, she can relay this information to biblical truths to her children. All right? That's your job. If you ain't got no husband and you born again and you got children, preach the gospel to them. Relay the word to them and allow people of God who are mature in the faith to come in and teach them. So it wasn't just her doing it. She had teachers and people coming in who had the word to come in and preach the gospel, teach the gospel rather, instruct the saints on what to do. Okay? It just wasn't her just handling her own household. She had help from the saints. All right. So that's what I got for you. Yeah, we got 36. I'm going to just stop here and leave you with that. I hope all that helps. Ultimately, as I continue on in this, you'll see what I'm talking about. Now I'm moving on to part two of women in ministry in the day. And now I'm going to talk about the roles of women. Because once you understand why God created women, you understand why they can't be in certain positions and why they shouldn't be doing what they're doing now in mainstream media and society today. Let's go back to scripture. Let's go back to the original intent of women. And this is found in Genesis chapter 2, verses 18. At this point, the man was already created. And God says, it is not good that a man should be alone. This is Genesis chapter 2, verses 18. It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. You look up the word helpmeet, you get helper. Okay? So he's seen the man. He says it's not good for him to be alone. I'm going to make him a helper. And he goes on to say, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh inside, instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And I want to stop right there. So there you have it. That's the intent of the creation of a woman. That's her purpose. So all women, that's their purpose, to help the man, all right? And he said that they are one flesh. So because she came out of Adam and was formed out of Adam, she's a part of Adam. And so women are, when they're connected to men, and as far as marriage is concerned, it becomes one flesh. as he says here, what Adam said here. They're one, we're one flesh now. So women are a part of men, and they're designed to help men. And when you find, as a man goes out and finds a woman and marries her, she becomes a part of him. That's her role. So when I see men being led by their wives, or women leading things in society, that's backwards, because they were created to help the leaders, which are the men. All right, the men are the leaders. All right, let's go into some other scriptures. We're going to the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 7 through 9. And we'll just read here. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, forasmuch as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. So right there, God created man to glorify God. We know this in other passages. I'm not going to read it. He created all things to glorify him. But in this case, God made man to glorify him. What does it mean to glorify God? To bring glory to him, to do what he says, obey him. That brings God glory. And then he says here, but the woman is the glory of the man. So the woman brings glory to the man. All right. And we see in another passage in Proverbs, in verses, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4, it says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. So it's funny how they mentioned in bones, and Adam mentioned, you know, women being the woman being the bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. So a woman that's acting right is a crown to her husband. She brings glory to him. Okay. She was created for him. Let's go. Let's continue on in these verses here. I'm gonna go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 7. And I'm reading again. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, forasmuch as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. All right? She was created to glorify the man. So when you get married, as a woman, you ought to glorify your husband by being obedient, being a helper, being everything God created you to be for him. All right? Verses 8, it says, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. The woman came from the man, all right? So that's why women ain't got no business leading the man, okay? She came out of the man. How you leading the man, that's backwards. That's not the role. It's twisted. Verses 9, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. The woman was created for the man. He needs help. God looks down on earth. He said, this man need help. So he pulls out this woman from him, closes up his wound and says, that's your wife. That's who's going to help you. That woman's going to help you. Now y'all going to walk together as one unit and glorify me. And then you get to have some glory coming from your own vessel, your side, which is your wife. So God is being glorified. The man is being glorified. The man is like a small God, you know, and the Bible says that we are little gods in some cases. So he's getting glory from his wife as she's obedient and becomes a crown like that onto his head. And the same thing with God. God is glorified and is blessed by man acting right and following God and obeying him. So we see the marriage vows. We see that the women is told to obey their husband. Are you going to obey your husband? You know, that's one of the vows that people put in there. So this is what it's about. So when I hear women talking about, what can I do? Can I lead men? Can I be a pastor? No, you can't be a pastor. You're messing up your role. You're showing that somehow you can be a leader over men and all this kind of stuff. And that's not what you were created for. You were created to aid and help him. All right. Verse 9, it says, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. All women were created for men. They were created for men. That's what they are created for, to help them. All right. So there you have it. It's very simple. We need to go read some more scriptures. Let's see. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the same chapter. And it says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God, all right? And he doesn't say wife in this case. So what we're seeing here is a society, if it was ran by God and if people follow his principles, all the women would be submitted to the men. And they will grow up being taught that you're there to aid men, okay? In a stable household, she grows up, she aids her father. She's passed off to her husband and she aids him. She sees her mother aiding her father. This is her job in life. This is her world. This is what she's about. The enemy has come and said to the woman that being a wife and a mother and aiding men is somehow degrading. It's below your potential, that you're created to do more than that. And that's not what God says in scripture. Okay? And so that's why women have a drive to do more than be a mother and a wife and an aide. And they have this drive now to actually be like men, to do what men do. And they're trying their best to do everything a man can do. And this is what's in the world. That's why these questions are being asked. Why can't we do this and why can't we do that? Because you perverted in your mind by Satan. And the spirit of the world has come into this and has polluted the minds of women, and specifically in America, to where they think that this is normal. And then they see these barriers and say, why can't I do this and why can't I do that? You know, it's because you're breaking past something that's, for most men, it's an instinct. Why would I let a woman lead me? Why, you know, now it's become normal where men are perverted. They're allowing it to happen. They grow up seeing their mother dominate their fathers, and so they follow women and they go forward like that. Some of them don't even have fathers, and all they see is women around. And so all they see is matriarchy, and they think, well, that's normal. Okay? In this country, there's a agenda just to degrade men in general. We don't respect men. We don't like them. While the woman is trying to be a man. She's projecting her voice, deepening her voice, trying to project herself as a man, and then pushing the agenda to make the man effeminate. They mostly prefer men to be effeminate now. They talk in ways that they take the bass out of their voice now. They're wearing these tight clothes. They're acting in their emotions. And this is all Satan's work to pervert the creation of God and to throw it in God's face. And God looks down and sees his creation, which is supposed to be glorifying him. The men supposed to be walking around and projecting masculinity, and they're acting feminine, and then the women are walking around acting masculine when they're supposed to be feminine. You see, and Satan laughs at God and say, "Ha, look what I did to your creation." You know? And that's what's happening. You can't be a part of that. So you got to reject the spirit of the world, reject the media, reject what people are projecting to you and teaching you through these movies and songs and all this stuff. All right. So just drop that. I had a vision that I'm gonna be a pastor. These women are saying this stuff. I was called by God. You weren't called by God to do nothing but submit to your husband and aid men in the church. If you're so-called a Christian or follower of God. Okay. So if you can understand your role and accept that, then you'll be fine and all this other stuff can just fall to the wayside. All these ambitions and stuff, this is inspired by Satan, okay? And I don't care who you see in the pulpit as a woman, just because she's doing it, just because somebody said, well, her message blessed me, it doesn't matter. She's out of order and she'll be judged for that. The scriptures are clear. It's just when you don't read scripture and you want to do what you want to do, but hopefully you can get this foundation. If you can get that, you're fine. You can go forward and see the world is twisted. And the number one reason why Satan wants the women in charge is because they're easily manipulated. Why? Because a woman was created for men. They were created to follow men, help them out. And so one of the things, attributes of a woman is she soaks up everything. If the man is his agenda to do this, she's naturally going to flow with that. Now you take that man out the way, she's going to naturally flow with whatever spirit that's around. This is why Satan went for Eve and didn't go to Adam. Because Adam, he already knew what to do and he probably wasn't going to follow along and do it. He couldn't come to Adam and say, hey, man, won't you eat that tree even though God said not to. It wasn't going to work. But he went to Eve because it's telling her to do something, and it made sense because she sucks up whatever's around. Okay, and even though her husband said one thing that came from God, she got another side of it. You see, that makes sense too. And that's how women are today. The spirit of the world is telling them, hey, homosexuality should be acceptable and you should allow that. Abortion should be okay. You know, let these people be transgender. Let everybody do what they want to do. And they thinking it's okay. Wow, they just suck up or whatever. And there's no man to say, no, stop that. Because the men have been oppressed through laws and all kinds of stuff. And they've allowed it. These men have allowed this to happen to them. They allow these laws to be passed where women have more power over them and can use the court system and things like that to hurt them. They've allowed women in the homes to cut off sex, to cut off respect, to cut off helping them. They've allowed that. All they had to do is say, put their foot down and say, we're not having that. And the women would shape up and follow along because that's what they're built to do. But if you let them do what they want to do, then they're going to keep doing what they want to do. So that's why we have these marriages that's backwards, where the men are just following along and just letting the woman run them, and they all effeminate and they've lost their masculinity and all that stuff. That's because they allowed it, because they're not understanding that they're fighting a spirit in their wife. And they didn't understand that the enemy had an agenda to attack the woman, which is why I had a whole series called The War Against Women, because that's the enemy's plan, to go after the woman and then get the woman to go after the man. And the reason why men bow to their wives, because their wife is a part of him. And so that's his weakness in some cases. That's him. It's like yourself saying, I want to do something. Well, you know what? And then she's beautiful on top of that. And it's just, you want to please her. She's a part of you. And so that's why the enemy goes after the wife and leads her to convince the man to do something that he know he shouldn't be doing. And so we see in scripture that Adam was not deceived at all. Eve was deceived, not Adam. Adam just went along with his wife because he wanted to please her. He decided, hey, I'm pleasing God. I'll please my wife too. And so he ended up sinning, and now we're in this condition. It's man's fault, because he allowed this to happen, okay? So if you want to blame men, blame Adam and blame men for submitting to these, women's rule and all this kind of stuff, all right? So that's part two, and we're going to end it right there. All right, so this is part three of women in ministry, and now I'm going to talk about why they can't be pastors. I already gave you the foundation. Being a woman, being a pastor would violate her role as a woman. So let me just read from scripture here why women can't be pastors or teachers or administrators in the church of God, as far as over men and in some cases over women as well. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 14 says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach. The word suffer means to tolerate. Nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Okay? Now, all men have authority. They've been given authority by God. They're leaders. They're heads. And the woman was created to aid him, whether it's a wife or not. So, in this case here, he was saying, I tolerate not a woman to usurp authority over a man. He said, don't tolerate. So a woman's trying to get over you men. Some girl's trying to dominate you or mistreat you in some cases. Don't allow it. You know, you don't stand for that, because that's a sin against you. And that's a sin against God. She's breaking the commandments of God. It's wrong. All right. It's happening in the world all the time. They got no rules. But in the church, amongst the saints in the fellowship, no man of God should be allowing his wife or any woman to dominate, lead, control, usurp authority, anything over him. All right. He's the head and the leader in those positions, and especially in his home as well. Continuing on in these verses, let me read it again. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer or tolerate not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but be in silence. For Adam was first formed and then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. So he's giving you an indication as to why the woman can't be a teacher in the church. Why? Because she was deceived. All right. Satan got a hold of her and tripped her up. And I see a lot of women today, they may have some sound teaching, but then they got some stuff that's just way off. It's like, what's up with that? Now, I can see you women saying, well, there's some men of God, so-called men of God, preaching falsehoods, too. They're deceived, too. It ain't the same thing. You're deceived because you suck up information easily from the surrounding areas because you're built to support whatever you're in connection with. If you're in alignment with your husband, you're going to believe and agree with him. That's normally how you do it. If you take the husband away from you and you're by yourself, you're open to the spirits, the demons in the spirit of the world, which will start teaching you things like that unless you get connected to God. So this is what's going to happen, all right? But he's saying here that, hey, the woman was deceived. You can't have a woman sitting up there who's easily deceived. And the reason why she's easily deceived because she operates in her emotions sometimes. A little bit more than men. Okay, a lot more than men. And that can be easily manipulated. Just make a woman feel some kind of way and she'll forget morality in some cases. Or what's right and wrong because she feel this kind of way. When you look at some of these movements where the women are supporting transgender and homosexuality and abortion, it's all about how they feel, you know? But let's look at it from a logical perspective. And that's what men have. They got a lot more logic to where they don't think in their emotions and they say, you know what? Logically, this ain't gonna work. This homosexuality, if you let this continue, there won't be no civilization. If you let abortion continue on, there won't be any children. So one of the moves now is to make men emotional and to think and act like women. That's why the men are the way they are now. The perversion is strong, and especially in the black community. It's just because the enemy's trying to destroy us. And so this is what's happening, okay? So this is why you can't be a pastor, because number one, you were deceived, all right? Here's 5 points he brings out. Learn in silence, in all subjection. You can't teach. You can't usurp authority over men. Adam was first formed in Eve. So I'm going to just go over these again. It's commanded that women should learn in silence, and it's mentioned twice. Why is this? Perhaps this passage in 1 Peter will shed some light on that. So in 1 Peter 3:1-6, it says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. So for all you wives who have unbelieving husbands, submit to your husband, and that will lead to him being converted. All right. It goes on in verse 2. It says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that the outward. Let me skip down to verses 4. Let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of the meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So he's just saying here that, you know, women ought to have a meek and quiet spirit. And so when he's saying to learn in silence, he's not saying y'all can't say nothing, but he's saying to have a meek and quiet spirit. That's what's being communicated here. A meek and quiet spirit is a person that doesn't think they're above anybody else, and a person that is not either verbally loud or very opinionated and blasting what they think and always trying to grab the conversation and just interject what they think. They submit and they listen and they receive. That's what women ought to be doing, okay? Not to say you can accept everything. Obviously, some things are wrong. You don't accept those things. But the bottom line is to learn in silence and to have a meek and quiet spirit. The average woman today is not meek. And she's not quiet. She's very loud and she is arrogant. And because of that, God is not pleased with her. And she does not bring glory to the man. A husband is walking into a room and his wife is out and noisy and loud and disrespectful. She's not bringing glory to that man. And therefore, that man is not being glorified. And therefore, it doesn't glorify God either. So that's what's going on there. The fallen nature is just to be loud and proud. We see that in Proverbs chapter 9, verses 13, and Proverbs chapter 7, verse 11. We talk about the loud woman, the woman that's out in the streets, and some of the attributes of the harlot was loud. And so that's what the world is out to do. And so what we see today is churches allowing women to be the same way in the world
And that's in the church. And we have to look at scripture again and say, look, these women need to be right. And they need to change and they need to repent. And so that's what it means to be a meek and quiet spirit. It's what it means to be learning in silence. Okay.
Another attribute he says, all subjection. The word subjection here means the obedience, yielding to another's advice. So women need to just yield. When the husband is leading them and say, look, you got to do this. Just yield and follow and agree. This is the role of the wife concerning her husband, as long as he's not telling her to disobey God. All right. Once again, women were created to help men. So, you know, how can a woman be in subjection to her husband, but she's the pastor of the church and there's men sitting up in there and there? What is that? So she can't be a pastor. She can't teach. She can't be an administrator over people, leading and guiding people like that. Like I said in part one, what you'll see her doing is really one-on-one with younger women, teaching them how to be good wives and mothers. That's it. You know, it may not be necessarily in the pulpit, but that's what she's teaching through her lifestyle, through her advice and guidance with one-on-one. But as far as this, I'm over the church and I'm the co-pastor and I don't care if these women saying that they're submitted to their husbands as a co-pastor. You ain't got no business in that position. There ain't no co-pastor position in the Bible where the wife is co-pastoring the church. It's just nowhere in there. But people fight with me on this. The scriptures are clear. It's not about me wanting to be over women or it ain't about that. It's simply the roles of men and women, what God set up. You don't mess that up. And the enemy is wanting to mess that up. And what you're doing when you fight with a man of God like myself regarding this, you're just saying, I don't agree with God. Because all I'm doing is relaying what God is saying. And you're saying, I don't want to accept that. And you're letting the spirit of the world infiltrate your mind and manipulate you into believing that you can do more and that who you are as a woman is not good enough. So God is just, he just messed up when he created you. He didn't do a good job. He withheld something from you. And that's the lie that was told to Eve. You know, you'll be like God if you eat this fruit, knowing good and evil. He's lying to you. He's trying to keep something from you. And that's the lie that women been drinking down today. And you got to stop believing these lies and go back to scripture and say, what did God create me to be? And this will reduce stress and all the other pains that women are going through today, trying to be like men. All right, y'all drinking and smoking and dying earlier. You're on antidepressants, everything, y'all messed up, trying to be men, trying to do what men do.
Here's another one. It says not to teach. Teaching men requires authority and leading, which isn't in her role as a woman. Point blank and simple. Usurping authority. Usurp means to take a position of a power of importance illegally or by force. He says don't tolerate. Don't tolerate that. Men don't tolerate that. He says again that Adam was first formed and then Eve. In his verse, he's saying that he's reestablishing the order. Man first, then woman. The woman is following the man. The man is the leader and the head. The woman is following. Therefore, she can't be a pastor, teacher, leader, administrator, apostle, evangelist, office of evangelist, stuff like that in the church, because that is not her role. Okay, she's there to aid the men. She can aid an evangelist. She can aid a pastor. She can aid an apostle. And we see that all through scripture. People open their homes. We talked about it in part one. A woman opened her home for the elders to come in and teach. So you can aid them, but you can't be in those administrative positions. Okay, you were created to aid men. That's what women were created for. All women were created to aid men. Not just, oh, I need just my husband. No, aid men in general. Okay? You aid your father. All right? You aid your pastor if you're born again and you're in a church. That's who you're aiding. And when you get married, you aid your husband primarily. So once you understand your role, all this other stuff will just fall to the wayside. You know, you can reject these desires to be something beyond what you were created to be. So the consequences of women pastors is basically perverting the roles of men and women to people sitting in the audience. They think, okay, women can lead and now men are leading, following women, and children are growing up seeing women run the show, and they think, well, all they're doing is messing everybody up. And God is saying, no, that's not my order. So I want to be clear. This ain't about men are better than women and all this kind of stuff. No, it's about an order. And it's about what God set up. and what you were built for. You weren't built for this, all right? Can you mimic what men are doing? Can you get information men have as teachers and evangelists and do that? Yes. Women are doing this, even in CEOs of companies. They went to school, learned something, and doing it. Doesn't make it right that they be in those positions, though. Just because you can do it don't make it right. So Satan is behind all of this. Satan is the antithesis of God. He wants everything to be backwards. If man is supposed to be with a woman, he's telling the man he can be with a man. Or a woman to be with a woman. If God says, tell the truth, Satan tells you to lie. Okay? What God calls evil, Satan calls good. If God says the man is the leader and the woman follows, Satan says the woman's the leader and the man should follow her. So, you know, in 1 Corinthians 11:3, it says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. All right. So this is the hierarchy. If you don't follow that, there's going to be consequences. The consequences is Satan gains control of the woman, and then she messes up the man, and the whole family's destroyed. And that's what's happening here. If you let a woman lead, and just in the church system, but just in general, in society as a whole, now Satan's in control because she's not under her husband and or a man in general, and now she's being controlled by Satan. So I had an image I created. I actually took it and changed it a little bit. Somebody else created it, but I added to it. And it was of an umbrella. It was the first umbrella is Jesus Christ. And under that umbrella, there was a husband. And under that umbrella, there's the wife. And when the wife is submitted to the husband and the man is submitted to Christ, everything is trickling down. Everybody's protected. But when the wife decides she's going to be head over the husband and run him or run society in different areas of society, who's her head? Well, it ain't Christ, because Christ is not head over the woman. Christ is head over the man. So guess who becomes her head? Satan. She wasn't created to be leading nothing. She was created to aid the men. Let's go all the way back to part one where we talked about in the garden, what was she created for? So once you get that understanding, all this other junk about you wanting to be this and that and be this great prophet, teacher, evangelist, all of this stuff, that goes out the way. All right. And when I mean prophet, I'm saying the office of prophet, not saying that you can't be a prophet, have the gift of prophecy, because we know that women had that. But I'm saying the office of prophet. Because I see a lot of women trying to grab that position and walk in that. And they always in some spooky stuff. They always weird. Prophesying some crazy. Okay, so you ain't prophets. You ain't called to be no office of a prophet. Neither a pastor, neither an apostle, neither evangelist, neither a teacher. We see in Revelations that there was a woman that operated in the spirit of Jezebel. And they was allowing it. They were tolerating that. And it was leading people to commit fornication and stuff like that. And when you see that prevalent in churches where the women are running the show and it's just very matriarchal and female dominated, the spirit of Jezebel is there. So this is what happened. Satan got in. And so now you have perversions going on. You got all kind of uncleanness going on. And I've heard it. For every man I came across who was in the church like that, he was always struggling with pornography. And I'm saying that's what Jezebel brings in. Anytime you're dealing with that spirit, you end up in pornography for some reason. It was just why is that all? Because she causes these things to commit fornication. You know, and pornography is from the word pornea and pornea fornication. So it's all connected. That's what you end up doing. You know, it's all kind of perversion. Why? Because it's out of order. So all these women who started churches, they out of order. They in sin. And I don't care if they saying God is using them. And God will use them in some cases, okay? You can open up God's word and preach something and it'll bless people, but you out of order. So just because you are saying something from scripture that's true and people are blessed by it doesn't mean that God is validating you as a leader. You're not in the proper order. Scriptures are clear about that. All right. So there you have it right there. We're going to end it with this part three, and then we're going to move on to part four next. Now we're on to part four. We're talking about women in ministry. And we're going to go over some scriptures that's commonly used to justify and support women in ministry, specifically pastors and teachers and different areas of so-called leadership.
All right, so let's get into it. Scripture number one, Galatians chapter 3, verses 28, it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. So women have taken that scripture and said, see, we're all one in Christ Jesus. Somehow all these barriers and differences make us one. Therefore, the woman can do whatever the man can do. And that cuts down everything. All right. Well, that's not the case. That's not what the scripture is saying. The scripture is basically saying that we are unified despite our differences. So we still retain our differences. People are going to remain a Jew or a Hebrew. And then it's going to be people that are going to remain Greeks or Gentiles. Okay. Nobody's going to lose their heritage just because they're in Christ Jesus. All right. Nobody's going to lose their sex or gender because they're in Christ Jesus. So male and female don't go away just because you're in Christ Jesus and we all unified. All right. The bond man who is pretty much a slave or in bondage to somebody does not become free just because he's in Christ Jesus. So the scripture here is being used to support something that's not true. All right. This is about unity in Christ. In other words, everybody in Christ Jesus, whether your status, whether your heritage or your economic status, whether being a slave or a free person or male or female, Jew or Greek, doesn't matter. You're unified in Christ. That's all that scripture is saying. So, all right. So this junk about, oh, you can be a pastor as a woman because all those barriers are cut down in Christ. That's not what it's saying here. All right. And I've actually heard transgender people say, you know, they somehow those barriers are down because they're in Christ. So it doesn't matter if they're male or female or something. And just a lot of people try to use this passage to support stuff that don't even fit. So here's another passage here. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 19, and then Acts 18, 26. It says, the churches of Asia salute you, Aquila and Priscilla. Salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All right, so Aquila and Priscilla was a married couple. They had a church in their house. And let's read in Acts. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded upon him the way of God more perfectly. So because Aquila and Priscilla, a married couple, a man and a woman, helped another saint understand the gospel better, they say that this is like a co-pastor and pastor and co-pastor, or because they presented the gospel to some man and helped him understand something better. Another brother in the faith, by the way, I think his name was Apollos. Because of that, somehow that justifies a woman being a preacher. All they were doing was relaying the gospel message and helping them understand it clearly. They weren't leading the flock. Once again, they also had a home. They had opened their home. That's it. Just like we, in part one, we talked about the elect lady and how her home was opened up. That's it. So don't try to make this out to be something else. These are not elders. She's not co-pastoring with her husband. None of that, all right? They opened their home, and they understood the gospel. Just like me and my wife may be talking to another brother who just got saved, and we helping him understand. And I'm telling him something, then my wife's telling him something. That's all that was going on. We both understand the gospel, and we were laying it to somebody else. My wife doesn't make her out to be a co-pastor or some kind of minister now just because of that. Some kind of some evangelist now. No, she's just relaying the gospel, which we all do at times when we are led by the Spirit. That's it. All right. Another verse passage, Acts chapter 21, verses 9. It says, and the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. So they're saying basically that if you're a prophet, you speak for God. And so speaking for God also includes preaching and teaching. So therefore, women can be preachers and teachers. All right. No, that's not what the scripture is saying. And that's not how you can extend the verse. It said that they were prophesying. Prophesying, this is the gift from God, which allows you to speak God's heart about something at a certain time. That's what the gift of prophecy is. All right. And we talked about all that in the sermon called All About Prophecy. You can go back to that and listen to that. Okay. That's all this is. It has nothing to do with them leading of a congregation of people and teaching them the word of God. None of that. These women had the gift of prophecy and they were speaking when necessary as the Holy Ghost prompted them to. That's it. It has nothing to do with you leading the flock or being a pastor, apostle, evangelist, or nothing like that. All right? Okay, so let's drop that. Here's another one. Acts chapter 2, verses 17 through 18. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. This is actually similar to the other one, prophecy, prophecy, prophecy. They keep thinking prophecy is somehow connected to being a pastor and leader and all that kind of stuff. No, it's not. It's a separate office. It's also it's a gift from the Holy Spirit. It's also a motivational gift. Depending on what you have, it doesn't mean that you end up leading the flock of God, especially as a woman. You don't. All right? So let's drop that. Judges chapter 4. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Oh, we see this woman, she's judging. So she can be a pastor and leader of God's flock. She was judging people, not necessarily leading them. So if you have an issue that you need somebody to look at, you could come to her and say, hey, this is my issue. Can you look at this? And she would pass judgment, okay? At this time, they had male judges. And then we read in some other passages that I'll show you that the men somehow had become cowards. And then God raised up this woman. And so some of us, you know, we see this as not the norm. But even if God allowed this, this is totally fine. And it does not justify women today being pastors and teachers. So women can be judges as God allowed this woman to be. You can make a judgment. Just like Judge Judy makes judgments on television. You come to Judge Judy and you have a dispute. Somebody owe you money. And she looks at the information and documentation and the contracts and say, you know what? You owe this person. You owe that. Ain't nothing wrong with a woman doing that. That's common sense. Any woman can do that if she's given the ability and training and understanding. Nothing's wrong with that. That doesn't mean you are a leader of a flock of God. You just made a judgment about somebody's issue between the two. Okay? That's all that is. Now we see in Judges chapter 4, verses 8, it says, and Barak said unto her, Deborah, if thou will go with me to war, in parentheses I added, then I will go. But if thou will not go with me, then I will not go. Okay, so here's a man who is so fearful that he needs a woman to support him in battle. Now prior to this, no man said, I need my wife to come with me. We about to go fight some Nephilim and I need my wife. That's soft. Okay, that's cowardness. Okay, and this is why this woman was judging at the time, because the men had fell off. Israel had got cowardice, and because of this is how this man had become. All right, and he's saying, I need you to come with me, you strong woman of God. Where the strong men at? They're not around because for whatever reason that the people got cowardice. All right. So if you read that, you can see that, man, this ain't even the norm. But I'm OK with it because it still doesn't justify women today being leaders and pastors and of God's flock. OK. All right. So people want to use this passage and a woman being a judge and somehow say, well, that can she can be a leader in a no. All right. Somebody got mad for me calling this man a pussy, but that's the term you would call somebody like that. All right. Where I'm from, that's what we call people like that. Men acting like women and not having and being cowardice. That's what we call it. And let me keep on. It says here, scripture is clear. It says he suffered not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over a man, but to be in silence. So. If that's God's will now, it was God's will then. And so this woman was perfectly in God's will. She wasn't usurping anybody's authority. She was pretty much just judging the men and the women in any matters that was coming before her. Okay? That's what was it about back then. All right? Now, if we want to go in the Old Testament, we will also find that there were pastors back then. So not just pastors in the New Testament in the body of Christ, but there were pastors over Israel. And we see that they always were referred to as men. All right. This is in Numbers chapter 27, verses 15 through 17. It says, and Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. So we know he's talking about pastors right there. Did he say, let a woman be over the congregation? No, he said a man. It's by default. That's their job. That's who they are. We all created as authority figures, heads, and leaders. All right? All men are leaders. They all of them. And women are followers of those leaders. That's how it's set up. All right? So for any woman who's saying, you know, I was called by God, I had a vision, I feel this kind of way, you feel that way because you were inspired by Satan, all right? And if you really want to follow the Lord, you relinquish your title as pastor. If you are a pastor over a church or evangelist or whatever you're doing that's over men and leading, all that stuff, sit down, follow God, and repent, all right? And God will bless you for it. Otherwise, he will use you. People will come up and say, yeah, that was a good word, Sister So-and-so, and thank you, Pastor So-and-so. And then you'll stand before God, and he'll say, you ain't getting in. You'll say, well, God, people were blessed by the ministry, and I felt that you were working through me. I said, I never called you to do that. You did that. Now, you want to preach the gospel, I'll use you. There's a lot of people that have a good word that they just opened up the Bible and gave to people. God will use them, but he won't allow you in. That's the thing about God. He's warning you now. If you're hearing this message, he's warning you now. If you read this article 3 years ago that I posted about women pastors, he's warning you then. But if you still want to practice that position and still support that stuff, then God's going to judge you when you stand before him. All right? Get into your role as a wife and a mother. Get into your role as a helpmate to men, specifically in the body of Christ if you are born again. All right? Support men. All right, that's what you ought to be doing. Women ought to be supporting men, not usurping their authority, not trying to be like them, not trying to do what they do. Support them, aid them, help them. That's what women were created for, whether you're a wife or not. That's what you created for. So that's all I got to say about that. Let me end it with this. What can you do? What can you do? What can single women do? You say, well, I don't got no husband to submit to. You have your father to submit to. You have your pastor to submit to. You have men that, and submit doesn't necessarily mean you're going to do everything they say. You just ain't going to let just some worldly men just tell you what to do and you're just going to follow them. That's not what it's saying. It's to come in and be submissive and respectful of men and to be an aid to them. All right? That's what you do as a single woman. And as God sees that in you, he'll bring a man of God to you to be married because that's what you created for. Men need you. If you're a woman walking around single, a man needs you. We can't be without women or wife. We need help. God said it in the beginning, in the garden. He said, it ain't good for man to be alone. So if you're a single woman, you created to aid and help a man. Okay? And in general, prior to you even getting married, you should be in that mindset and helping men in general. Be an aid. Be respectful to men. Don't join in when other women are disrespecting men and putting them down. You be a person that says, I'm not going to do that. Okay? I'm not saying you support foolishness, though. You don't aid no wicked man. You don't do stuff like that, especially you're not married to him. But what I'm saying is that you be a help to men. All women should be a help to men. When they're doing something, they say, you know what? I need help. The woman should be ready to available to help them. All right? That's what you do as a single woman. As a married woman, your number one priority is to help your husband and be a glory to him. Bring glory to him by being everything you're supposed to be as a wife. So he can be proud to say, that's my wife. She's a crown on my head. And all you got to do is submit and follow him and do what he says. Now, one of the things people have said to me, specifically women, that I'm going to aid him my way. That's not how you do it. You aid him as he asks you and requires you and commands you to. That's how you aid him. That's how you help him. You don't decide you're going to do what you want for him. Okay, I hate when women try to interject and say, I'm going to do this and do that. And that ain't what I want. I may need help over here. I may need help over there. And you say, well, he don't know what he wants. Well, let him get around to it. Let him be the authority. Don't take that from him and treat him like he don't know what he's doing. Step back. I remember a woman was saying that the husband was not good at paying the bills and that sometimes she has to run in and pay the bills before the lights get cut off. And in the counseling session, this was open. We were learning biblical counseling at the time. The pastor said, look, Let that man pay those bills and handle that. If he says he's going to handle, let him handle. Don't run in and save him when the light bill is about to be due. Let the lights go off. Then he'll learn that, okay, I need to be better about this. But you can't keep saving him. Now, unless he gave you the responsibility to pay the light bill, then that's your job to take care of that. But in this case, let him handle that. Don't keep running in talking about you need to do this, you need to do that. Let him run that. Okay, sit back, let it happen. You're not in charge, okay? Respect him. And so the thing about a lot of this is if you just respect a man and aid him and sit back and be a wife, it strengthens him to be a better man. But if you always in the mix, treat him like a child, he's screwing up, he's this and that. Encourage him to be better, but don't demean him and disrespect him. Then he'll be better. Okay? Married women, if you have married to a man, he's not believing. We already read 1 Peter. Submit to your husband. Follow him. Be the best wife you can be. Show him the God in you. That's when he'll say, you know what, man, my wife is really shining. She's really just being a good woman to me. She makes me want to be a better man. And then he'll start seeing the God in you and saying, you know what, let me get to this God that you serve. And that's how you save your marriage. That's how you save your husband's soul. Through your behavior and your actions and your respect for him. Today, women don't have no respect for men. They disrespecting them left and right. You can't be like that. So women, you were created, whether you married or not, to aid men. The head of every woman is the man. All right? And the head of every man is Christ. You say, well, my man don't have Christ as his head. Or these men around me don't have Christ as their head. Okay, well, support a man who does have Christ as his head. Show that you respect God's order. That's all I got to say. It's real simple. If you just let go and let God work in you, it'll be a lot easier to be a woman and not be trying to stress and be a man and do everything and find yourself being burnt out. Like a lot of women today, they just burnt out, trying to be men, trying to do it all. And I've heard the stories. My husband left me for another woman, or my dad was never there for me. And so I got to take care of me, and men ain't this and men ain't that. Look, you need to get healed, because that was that man. That was your father. That was that husband. Okay. God will heal you and put you in right order and mend things back together. Okay. You can't blame all men and say they're all bad because of what that guy did to you and what that guy did to your girlfriend over there. All right. You got to be in order with God. You have to be right with God, despite the men in your life and what they did. You got to overcome and forgive and let go and let God heal you and then go forward, because you're accountable to God. Okay? You got to be right with God. You can't go out talking about, well, because the men around me was whack, I didn't respect them, and I lived the rest of my life disrespecting men. Anytime you disrespect men, you're disrespecting God, because men were made in the image of God. Okay, men were created to glorify God. Okay, and women were created in the image of God as well, but they came from men, all right? When you disrespect men, you're disrespecting God. And the same vice versa, when a man disrespects his wife, he's disrespecting God, because that's his property. That's God created that woman. That's his vessel. And so it's vice versa. But there's a thing going on in this country where it's okay to disrespect men. The bottom line is this. This is what you can do in ministry. You can aid the man of God. That's what you can do. And if you got a husband, you aid him first. Because I've seen this where the so-called woman of God puts out the biggest piece of chicken for the pastor when he come over, but not respecting her own husband in the house with him. And he can't stand that. Your husband is your number one priority if you're married. If you're not married, you know, respect your pastor and the men of God in your local church and aid them. That's what you're called to do. All right? You're an aid to men. You help men succeed and do the things they need to do in life. All right. Now, what can you teach? We talked about that in part one. You can teach, as you become an older, mature woman of God, how to be everything we talked about, how to be a wife and a mother, how to be an aid to men, how to be helpful to men. That's what you teach. And you can do that while you're hanging out in a local fellowship. You know, it's not necessarily in the pulpit somewhere. But you can have a blog and you say, I'm teaching women how to be right with their husbands and how to love their husbands. That's all right. Even if you stand up in the pulpit and teach it and the pastor authorized it, that's fine. Bottom line is that's your lane. That's where you at. That's what you teaching. There's other stuff where you want to be
preaching on revelations and get digging into other stuff like that. It's not to say you can't read the Bible and talk about it. Women do that all the time on Facebook. I found a scripture and this is what it says. Okay, that's all right. You're not wrong for doing that. That's all right. But, you know, as far as to say you in ministry and somehow you are this office and this, that, and the other, and people are supposed to follow you and all that stuff. No, that's not what your call is. Your call is to amen. All right. All right. So that's all I got for you. Till next time, be born again. Walk in the Spirit. If you're not born again, read the gospel, accept it, and believe it. And be blessed.